One of the reasons I'm looking forward to heaven, I'm going to be able to stand up and sing in front of people. I think that is so cool. People can get up here and do that. I wish I could do that. I can't do it. Thank you, Sharon, for sharing. These people that can do that, I envy them. I would like to be. Hide and seek. Well, I was going to ask you, Karen kind of gave it away. I was going to ask you who invented that game, and I think Adam and Eve did a fine job of that long time ago. Can you think of some other times within the Bible of people playing hide and seek? Can you think of some of those? Karen mentioned Adam and Eve. She mentioned Jonah. Who else would you mention? Elijah. Who else? Saul. David with Saul. Excuse me. Who else? Eve with God. Would anybody say Joseph? No, okay. Joseph, the coat of many colors. Anybody else? Well, you all know the game. You know the game of hide and seek. So I'm sure that you've played it all your life, growing up playing. In the game, someone goes and hides, and then the other person's waiting and counting a few minutes, and then they go look for them, and the seeker finds them, they win. If you can't be found, then obviously you win. And then when it came to my turn to hide, I would always find the really good place to hide. You see, Karen and I still play this game. And so I always try to find the really place to hide, not so that I can't be found, but so that I can scare her, right when she's coming around the corner, and you try to jump up or jump out and scare you. And you know what's amazing? A few years ago, Karen and I had some Discipleship Now kids over to our house we were hosting, and guess what they wanted to play? Teenagers, hide and go seek. And they wanted to play it out in the dark, which is completely off limits for me. But they wanted to play it outside. They love playing hide and go seek. You know, and we still play today. You still play in your house, whether you think you do or not. There are people that hide things from their spouse. We hide things from the world. We hide things about ourselves toward others. We hide things from the people we love. We attempt to hide them things from God. And believe it or not, to hide things about ourselves from ourselves. We like to put those things away, maybe in the back of our memory. And some of you, quite frankly, hide your own keys. True? That should have been an amen. You hide your own keys, you hide your own wallet, and I've even seen some people go to Walmart and hide their own car. And what's amazing to me is our passage of Scripture this morning in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us distinctly that, church, we can't hide anything from God. We can't hide anything from the Word of God. And God and my Word know everything that there is to know about you. Everything that there is to know about you. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged, double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul. Yours may say to the division of soul. And of spirits, of joints, and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Oh, you need to star that up on your heart, underline it, start, whatever you do. Nothing but nothing but nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. In the English translation, it says, "And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." How well does God know you? How well does God know who you are? What you're about? How well does God know if your audio matches your video? Because my Bible says that God knows everything about Billy Dawson. Everything. Even when I'm home by myself, even when I'm riding in the car by myself, God knows everything about Billy. He knows everything that crosses path of my mind and my focus. He knows, the Bible says, words on my tongue before they're yet formed. And yet every day in my life, I continue to try to hide from God. Is it amazing to you how easily I can understand, you can understand, that God knows everything about me? After all, folks, He is God, right? After all, we come here this morning and raise our hands in praise and worship and say that He is the Savior of the world, that He did die and resurrect. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. He has, He is, and He always will be. We say that every Sunday. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is simply God Almighty. That's who He is. That's who we proclaim He is. And then I read this morning and it talks about His Word. Well, how in the world does His Word know everything about me? When I open a page of God's Word, it knows me. And when I flip over the next page knows me as well. So both God and His Word, which is living and active, both God and His Word know me. And so what does that really mean? That they know me so well. And that's the purpose of today's message. It's what today is all about. Knowing that God and His living, acting Word knows me. So first this morning, because God knows me so well, because God's Word knows me so well, then God knows exactly where the spiritual cancers are in my life that need to be removed. God knows exactly where the spiritual cancers are in my life that need to be removed. And let me go ahead and give you the good news. He will remove them. He is the surgeon. But God can identify the spiritual cancer in Billy's life. He knows where it is. Notice verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." Now think about that for a moment. Put that in your mind. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, the joints. It penetrates that deeply. It judges the thoughts and the attitude. What does? The Word of God. The thought and the attitudes of the heart. You know, one of the worst things you can hear from your doctors, "There's nothing I can do for you." My dad was told that. "There's nothing we can do for you. Go home and enjoy the last 6 months or 9 months or whatever you have to live, but there's really nothing we can do for you." A month later, he's gone. Well, it's got to be the worst words that we can hear in our human body. "I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do." But let me promise you something this morning. Let me promise you something this morning. I can promise you that you will never hear those words from the small little voice in your heart, which is the Holy Spirit. You will never hear the Holy Spirit. You will never hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, "There's nothing that my Father and I can do for you." You will never hear that. You will never hear them say, I can't help you. I don't care what your spiritual cancer is. Listen, God doesn't either. He's going to heal it when you turn it over to Him. I don't care what your spiritual cancer is. God can get it out. God can cut it out. I've seen God change the life of an alcoholic. I've seen God change the life of a drug addict on hydrocodones, 400 a month. And I've seen God change their life. Prescription drugs. I've seen God change the life of people that are so far down in what I would call the ditch of life. It's just an amazing praise to Him that He can rescue them, that He can cut out the very cancer that's in their life. I've seen God cut out the cancer of pornography, of drug addicts, of alcoholism. I've seen Him cut out the cancer of a family that's almost in the middle of divorce. I've seen Him cut out the cancer of children that are being raised in a home and cut out that cancer of raising them without the Lord. We've all seen those things. Those spiritual cancers in our life, these marriages that are on the verge, the brink of disaster, and all of a sudden that marriage is the strongest one in the community. I've seen Him save the life of a young boy. I've seen Him save the life of a young girl that was contemplating suicide. I've seen that. I've seen it. What is it in your life today? What is your spiritual cancer today? What would you pinpoint today and say, you know what? I need to cut that out of my life. I need to quit hiding that. I need to get rid of it. I need to throw it down. I need to put it at the altar. That's what I'm calling spiritual cancer today. God can remove it. God will remove it if you will allow Him. He can get to it and He can remove it if you will just allow Him to. He's standing and ready. He is at the operating table this morning, wanting to remove the spiritual cancers in our life. Second, because God knows you, because God knows me so well, the path that my life travels is specifically guided by God for me. Now, we can get in all kind of theology right here because I have conversations with people all the time about what is the call of God? What does that mean? What is the will of God? What does that mean? And don't I determine the will because, you know, in my human mind, I'm going to do what's best. I think what's best for me, and if I do it this way, I'll go say that's God's will. And so we can program our mind to make ourselves believe that's God's will because that's better for me, or you know, that's not God's will because that's really uncomfortable over there in Africa and I really don't want to go over there. So that's really not God's will for my life. Probably is for yours. So we can kind of channel in a sense. But I believe that God knows me so well, that God knows my heart so well, that the path that my life travels is specifically designed by God. Does that mean it's smooth all the time? No. Does that mean everything's cherry? No. But God knows the very thoughts of my heart. God knows my attitudes. God knows the attitude of my heart, even walking into this place. God knows where you are today. God knows where your mind is right now. God knows what is taking over in between your ears right now. So if He knows that my heart, and He knows the best of me, if He knows my heart, then isn't He the best one to provide for the path to my life? If God knows everything about me, shouldn't He be the one that I am asking to guide me through the paths of my life? He knows me better than anyone else. Well, what are you talking about, Billy? What's questions that come up to me all the time? Billy, should I homeschool my kids? Should I homeschool my kids? And for some, the answer is absolutely. And for some, the answer is no. But I believe you have to get to with God because He knows your heart. And God is able to give the best path for your life. And He will do so. Some will come in and say, Billy, what, do you think I should accept this promotion? God knows you better than anybody. So you take that to God. Because some, for the answer will be yes. Some, the answer is no. And you have to get with God because He knows your heart and what the promotion might do for you and also what the promotion might take away from you. God knows. He is able to give you the best path for your life. You say, Billy, should I go into the ministry? For some, the answer is yes. And for some, the answer is absolutely not. No. God knows your heart. So He knows the reasons that you would consider going into the ministry. He knows the reasons that cross your mind about the ministry. He knows the best path for your life that you can take. And for some, that is nowhere near the ministry. Whatever the decision that you have to make, it would be foolish to make it with the one that knows more about you than anybody else. And think about how many times we all do that. We make decisions without God, the one who truly knows us better than anyone. Number three, because God in His Word know me so well, it's obvious that He must love me. And He must love me because He's seen me at my best times and He's seen me at my worst. Look at verse 13. Nothing in creation, all creation, is hidden from God's sight. Now I'm just going to take a wild stab at it this morning. And I'm sure I'm wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. As a preacher, most of you see me on Sunday the good preacher side of me. And I'm sure you think, man, that's how he is all the time. And I see you on Sunday and you're all smiles and boy, you're hugging everybody and I'm sure you want me to think, boy, he's like that all or she's like that all the time. Folks, that's a lie, right? There is other sides to us, is there not? I don't know about you, but at least once a year I have a bad day. There are other sides that we don't want people to know. Why? Because we're afraid they won't love us. We're afraid it'll change the perspective of us. We're afraid if we let them in on that other side of the road over there of how we are when the door slams at the house. Well, Brother Billy, I don't want Billy to see that. You don't want the preacher seeing that, or the preacher don't want you seeing that. There's another side to all of us, and I know it's hard to show that side. But by the same token, we generally only show one side of ourselves. We generally only show one side of ourselves so that we do not reveal the other side of ourselves because of this fear that if you see the other side of me, you may not love me anymore. If you see the other side of me, you may not respect me anymore. But God has seen both sides. God has seen you from every angle. He's seen my best days. He's seen me on my worst days. And you know what the beauty of it is? It's obvious He still loves me. He still loves us, even though He's seen us at our best, He's seen us at our worst. God still loves me despite of all of that junk, I would say. Didn't He climb up on that cross? Didn't He get up on that cross and die for me, knowing full well that after He died for me, that I was still going to have those days? knowing full well that I was still a sinner, that I was still far short from the glory of God, that I was still filthy rags at His feet, knowing full well when He got up on that cross, He knew every bit of that. And He did it anyway. So it's obvious, even though He's seen my good days and my bad days, it's obvious that He still really, really loves me. And He loves you. Does that scare you that He knows everything? Does that scare you He can open up your old closet of skeletons, people call it? I'm going to tell you, it shouldn't scare you. It should be a sense of comfort. You know why? Because I can be real with God. I may not be able to tell you something, but I can tell God anything. I can be real with God. I can open up and tell the tell-all to God. I don't have to fake it. Why would I fake to someone that knows all about it anyway? He already knows. So I don't have to fake it. I don't have to be somebody I'm not. I don't have to have a good side and a bad side of me with God. I just talk to God. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that I'm faking being your preacher. I'm not telling you that. I know I'm not telling you that you walked in here faking this morning. But dudes, excuse me, I shouldn't say dudes. Church, I got in my coaching deal there. That's why I call my players, they're dudes, and I shouldn't have said that. But church, let me ask you a question. How hard do we work to hide? How hard do we work? Some of you deserve a Grammy Award for what you fake every day. For the smile that you paint on your face. For the happy attitude that you make yourself have when you see someone, because on the inside you're just crushed. When the inside you're so unhappy. You deserve a Grammy Award for hiding some of the things that you have hidden for years and years and years. We work hard at it. We work hard at it. We work hard on our hair. Our makeup, we cover up everything we can cover up. I mean, my daughter might have 6 shirts on. You know how they're doing all this? I don't know. I don't get all that. But we will cover up whatever it is we can cover up because somebody might see that. And we spend time doing it. And what I'm telling you this morning is you don't have to do that with God. Be real with God. God knows everything about you. He knows your bad things. He knows your good things. Be real. Be honest with God. And quit faking it. And lastly, because God and His Word know me so well, I should not take for granted His holiness and His desire for me to be holy. God desires me to be holy. Verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. When I realize that God knows me so well and I know that He still loves me, then there is a tendency for me to take His love for granted. Let me give you an example. I know Karen loves me, and I love Karen. But unfortunately, there are times that I take Karen's love for granted. Because we've been around each other for a long time. And so we take each other for granted. Let me give you an example. I'm working in Walmart. Somebody's coming through the door, and I open the door for them. And I'm so sweet. And if Karen's with me and nobody else is coming, I open the door and I walk in and Karen follows me in. Not so sweet. We take it for granted. The familiarity. We just take it for granted. Maybe that's just me. God says, don't ever forget. He says, church, don't ever forget that I love you. Don't ever forget how much I love you. But listen, also don't forget that I am a holy God and that one day you will give an account for your life to me. Do not confuse that I love you with the idea that I am lowering my standards for you. So let's look at that word standard. What are God's standards for us? And here's what I see as a standard. Here's a standard. We've set it. God set it. If this a standard is something that we're going to live by. And you hear people talk about all the time, we're going to raise the standard or raise the bar or whatever. But here it is. The problem in our lives is that when we don't reach that standard, then we usually don't hold ourselves accountable to that standard. Instead, we set a new standard. And generally, where is that standard? And so next time when we don't reach that standard, we set a new standard. And generally, where is that standard? And that's what we do with our kids as well. I see it all the time. So instead of raising, saying, here's my kid's standard, when they don't meet that, we lower it. I'm telling you, God never comes down off His standard. It's never lowered. As a parent, Karen and I talked about this all the time, and as my job as a coach is, here's the standard, and if I lower it for one person, if I let one person slide by with something, you know how we let them slide by? Then I have lowered the standard for everybody on that team. I've lowered the standard for my whole family at the moment I let that happen. So now you know why God doesn't lower the standard. God's not lowering it for anybody. He desires us to be holy, and one day we'll give an account for our life based on His standard, not mine, based on His word, based on what He sees, the expectations of life. You see, I should stand in awe of His holiness. Those people who can find that balance of holiness and love are dynamic Christians. They're standing up and they're beating the chest for Christ. Did you realize that God knows everything about you? Did you realize you can hide it from your family? You can hide it from your mother? You can hide it from your boss? You can hide it from your children? You can hide it from your preacher, and the preacher can hide it from you. But you can never, ever hide it from God. So what's your spiritual cancer? What are you hiding this morning? What are you hiding in your heart? And I would encourage you to allow God to take that out of your life, to cut it out, to confess it, to get it out of the way, to get it out of your life, to throw it away, that harboring sin. Or maybe it's a thought that you have against someone. Maybe it's an issue you're having with your children. But as sin destroys our relationship with each other, it destroys our relationship with God. And as sin destroys our relationship with God, it destroys our vertical, our horizontal relationships in life. And we need to cut that out. So my prayer this morning is that you'll turn it over to the surgeon. You'll quit hiding things in your life. And you'll quit putting on the fake smile for God. And you'll be real with God. And you'll tell God exactly where you are and what your heart feels and exactly what you've done. And you'll get that out of you. You'll be a new person. You'll feel like a new person. The weight of the world can be lifted off of you simply by the words of confession. Father, this morning, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for knowing us so well. And Father, may we take that as an advantage that we can be real with you, that we can come to your altar and bow to you and can plead, Father, with you. Father, let us stop hiding things from you. Our own agendas, our secrets of the past. Whatever it is, Father. May we release those things to the you, the doctor, this morning, that you would cut those spiritual cancers out of our life. That, Father, we could get up knowing that we are forgiven. And we're forgiven because you resurrected, that you hung on that cross, and that you came back for us. And that, Father, one day you're coming again. Father, may we hang on that hope. Take this time, Lord. Convict us. May we respond. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?